Thank you for Francis, and we do pray that you'd be with him to bless him. We pray that you would use him to encourage us and to challenge us from your word. Amen.
We're continuing our journey through the second letter of Peter, chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, and we're starting from verse 12. Peter wrote this: "So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it's right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. Now I'll make every effort to see that after my departure, you'll always be able to remember these things. For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, 'This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased.' We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable, and you'll do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." Well, Peter encourages us all to remember the truth. What truth? I think it's that Jesus Christ is Lord of everything. We say that quite easily, and we can sing it quite regularly, that Jesus Christ is Lord. We can believe it in our minds, but is it true in our daily lives? Is he Lord of what we say, how we live, what we do, who we are, of our homes, of our occupations, of our pastimes? Is Jesus Christ Lord? John's Gospel, Jesus says this: "I am the way, the truth, and the life." I think that's the only proper truth in the whole wide world, that Jesus Christ is Lord. There is no truth that stands the test of time. And Peter here is encouraging us all to share that truth, to remember it. He wants to ensure that we don't forget it. Peter writes, "I remind you of these things." What things? Well, most of you here last week, you will have heard what things. I want you to see this not just into your minds, but into your hearts. We have the Holy Spirit who promises to bring us all things back to our mind if we rely on him. And I find this quite often with verses of Scripture in my own personal time of ministry. I've never sat down and learnt the Bible. I don't know if anyone here has, but I've learnt a book off by heart. But I have read it through many times, I suppose, over quite a lot of years. But I've never actually worked at remembering it. But what I do know is that when I'm praying with someone or ministering to them or helping someone, God gives me the verses that I need for that time. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit. It's not me being clever or anything else. It's what God has promised to do. What Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will bring all these things back to your mind. And he gives us the gifts that we need to go on following Jesus, the gifts of wisdom and understanding, speaking in tongues for our prayer life and our public life together. He is the one who gives us direction to our daily lives. And again, you've heard me say this many times before probably, people come to me with questions, what should I do? There's this situation, there's that situation. I don't know what to do. I said, well, have you done the Bible readings this morning or yesterday? Oh, no, I haven't done that. I suggested to them, if they actually look at the Scriptures, God may well speak to them through his word, because that's what he promises to do, to guide us and direct us through his word. And God's divine power has given us everything that we need for our daily lives. God has given us that power to live as Christian men and women. He's given us the gift of godliness. He's given us great and precious promises. He promises that when we give our lives to Jesus, we become part of the divine nature. That you and I are brothers and sisters in Christ. Don't you find that amazing? Look around the world, and I wonder how many people list, think, oh, see that divine nature, see God in them or Christ in them. I pray that's how it is for us, though. That as we receive Jesus into our lives, when people look at you and me or whoever here is in the church, that there will be something of Jesus in them that draws them to him. He promises that we are part of that divine nature. We are part of the body of Christ. We just share communion together, bread and the wine, to remind us of all that Jesus has done for us, to remind us of his death and resurrection. Not so that we can just gather around here and have some bread and wine here. It's so that his life becomes part of our life. We become Christ-like in who we are. Joint heirs with Christ, we're told we are. And we escape the corruption of the world. Hallelujah. How? By being in Christ. We have the promise of our place in heaven. Isn't that good? Dennis was preaching this morning. Can't wait to get there. I think he said all words to that effect. That he's sure of that place in heaven for him. And I pray that's true for each and everyone here today, that you are certain of your place in heaven. That death is not something we have to fear. It's something we go through, but it's not something we need to live in fear of. We escape the corruption of the world. And I think there Peter's talking about forgiveness of sins. And again, the communion service reminds us of that, the shed blood of Christ. How seriously do I, do you, do we take forgiveness and confession of sins? It's a challenge, this, to myself and to you, so don't think I'm judging, because I'm not. But when's the last time you're actually on your knees before God saying, I'm sorry that I did this. I'm sorry that I went and saw that. I'm sorry that I did whatever. It's so important we actually get before God and confess before him those things that are wrong in our lives. And Jesus died just for that and more. But he died that our sins might be forgiven, that he pays the price for them. We need to take sin seriously. It's so easy to just go along with the ways of the world. Everybody else does it, so why shouldn't I? It's not God's way for you or for me or for us. Wrong thoughts, wrong attitudes, wrong deeds. We need to be serious when we come before the Lord. So often, I tell you what, you may think how many times you come before the Lord, God, help me in this situation, that situation. God, help me here. Help my brother, my sister, my daughter, whatever. I reckon we probably do that, 30, 40, 50 times more quickly or more often than we probably come before him and say, God, I'm sorry I've done that. I'm sorry about this. Forgive me through the shed blood of Christ. Set me free from the bondage that sin causes. God calls us to be lights in the world. And to be a light in the world, we need to be set apart from sinful acts and thoughts and deeds. We need to be different. We need to be Christ-like. That's why Jesus came, to make us more like him. And this is so important in our daily walk as Christians. And there's more. We have that promise, as I've just said, of that rich welcome into heaven when we leave this earth. What a promise. Place without death, without tears, without crying, without pain. I cannot understand why people don't give their lives to Jesus. We're promised so much, so many good things, so much freedom. Yet people choose to go the other way. Again, I don't know how many of you here have brothers or sisters or family who are not Christians. Do pray for them. Do pray for them. Christ died for them. Don't let's be backward in coming forward in our prayers. And Peter here in this epistle is underlining the fact of this truth. He's eager that nothing gets lost. He says he's going to die soon because that's what Jesus told him. But he says, when I go, I want you to remember. Remember these things. Hold them in your heart. Don't lose them. It's so easy to swim away and think, oh, I'll be Christian another day. I don't want to be very good today or whatever. And so often we can slip down that slippery path. And when talking about the power and the coming of Jesus, Peter makes the point that he's not just repeating clever words that someone else has told him. So-called clever people, rabbis, Sadducees, Pharisees, whatever. Peter's underlying the point that he was witness to Christ. He was witness to all that Christ taught. He was witness to Christ's death. He witnessed his resurrection. He witnessed the coming of the Holy Spirit. And Peter's eager that you understand this. This isn't just a fairy tale or something that's written by some clever author. These are words of an eyewitness. He talks too about that on the Mount of Transfiguration when they saw Jesus with Moses and Elijah. And these prophecies that we read in the Old Testament looking to Jesus are like lights shining in the darkness. That light will remain until the second coming of our Lord. Jesus will come again. It's sad that so many Christian folk today have actually lost sight of that fact. It happened actually in the early church in about the first century. They were upset because Jesus said he's coming again, and 100 years later he hadn't come. So they thought, oh, it can't be right, it can't be true. And Peter's eager that we understand that Jesus will come again. That's what Jesus promised. I will come again, and he will. And Peter's encouraging his readers to improve our knowledge of God too. That coming to Christ as a Christian isn't finished when we're given a testimony, we've been baptized. God wants us to grow in the knowledge of him. And how do we do that? How do we grow? Well, one of the reasons, or one of the ways, is through our personal prayer life. I think this is one of the biggest challenges for so many Christians, to have a personal prayer life. We give lots of time to other things, to work, maybe television, maybe sport. How much time do we give to Jesus in prayer? Do we pray to God every day? Or are we happy just to let it slip for a week or two? If we want to know what God is saying to us, it's so important that we spend that time in prayer. If you want to know what God's thinking or what God's saying to you, pray to him. Have ears that open. I love that saying that we're given two ears but only one mouth. That's good, isn't it? It means we should be able to hear what God is saying to us rather than spending our time yakking away to him. We need to spend time reading our Bibles. Now, how much time do you actually spend reading the scriptures? 5 minutes a day? An hour? Only you know. And the third way of improving our knowledge of God is by living it out in our daily lives. Because it's when we're walking with Jesus, we hear what he's saying, we see what he's doing. We witness to things, to miracles. Sadly today, to sort of speak of miracles, it seems to be non-new. So many people here have been healed, but won't actually say so in case the healing goes. Where's that faith in God? When God heals us, we need to share it with one another. That's how we grow in our knowledge of God. That's how we grow in our faith. I'm sure Alma remembers, but it wasn't so long ago. She came up here and told us about an hour or so, wasn't it? How God had actually ministered to her and brought healing into her life. We're so slow in saying what God has done. And because of that, it weakens the faith of the church as a whole, I think. If more people came forward and witnessed what God was doing in their lives, how much faith that would build in people. Because none of us are Jesus. We're all human. We all have faults. We all have failings. But it's wonderful when we see God at work in people's lives, changing them, healing them, giving them their families back again, bringing new sight into the situations. We need to be honest and open and free with God in that sense of sharing what he's doing in our Christian lives. It's one of the questions we often ask in January, but I'm going to ask it now. Do you know more about God than you did this time last year? Do you know more about God? Do you know God better than you did this time last year? It's a nasty question, isn't it? So it's one that we need to ask ourselves, though. Have we been growing, or have we just been settling down and sort of waiting for things to move on? God wants us to grow closer to him day by day, not once a year within an hour in the month or something like that, but every day he wants us to draw closer to him. We as ministers are encouraged to teach, instruct, and exhort our hearers to bring these truths to be heard. In a sense, Dennis and I would do the same thing here, as Peter was doing, reminding those he was addressing not to forget the truth that is in Christ Jesus. I'm always encouraged, actually, by some of the folk here who make notes during the sermons. Sometimes it backfires and they remind you what you said, but I think it's good because they can actually take them home and meditate upon and think about them. These things are not idle tales. We are here to preach the gospel, to make known the power of Christ. And that again talks to me about what's happening on Saturday at this float. What a witness it would be if we get 100 people from this church, say, going down the high street in our white t-shirts with balloons that I expect David's blown up for us, dogs or whatever, or crosses. But what a witness to the town. If that float goes down with 10 people on board and nothing else happening, people think, not much going on there. Can't be very important if that's all they can do. We're being challenged, I think, as all the congregations throughout this church, to come and to stand and to witness for Jesus. Because often when people think of church, they might drive past, see one or two coming in the front door, they think that's it. But they saw a body of people, I won't say charging down the high street, but following the float down the high street. What an impact this could have on the town. And how this town needs to know Jesus. I forget what the population is. Was it 6,000 something? 6,000 whatever? How many are going to church, or a Christian church, should I say, on a Sunday? 300? 250? 300? Pardon? A bit more maybe? I don't know. But think how many people do not know Jesus. How many people need to know Jesus? You walk down the high street, as I do every day, how many sad faces do you see? How many people bowed down by burdens or family situations, things that are going wrong in their lives? Their shoulders are slumped and they're sort of... You just pray that God's going to zap them in a very real way and bring them to life. And that's part of our job, you and me as Christian men and women, to tell them about Jesus. Do you remember the voice from heaven? God saying, "This is my son with whom I'm well pleased." I pray that as we carry on here as men and women in Christ, we too may hear that said to us. But we need to walk as Christians. We need to pray as Christians. We need to read our Bible as Christians. We need to fellowship together as men and women who have a common calling to follow Christ. What a wonderful voice it'd be if it came down to us, "This is my son or my daughter with whom I'm well pleased." That's what God, I think, wants for us in Christ. God opens our ears. We hear. But we don't just hear, we're called to live out this life together. And it always excites me about the prophecy that Peter refers to in the Old Testament. The death of Jesus, for example, in Isaiah 53. The part that really spoke to me when I read that, you know, soon after I became a Christian, I thought, was that 500-600 years before Christ came? Do you remember those words? Fantastic. "He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, familiar with suffering. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us," that's you and me, "peace, was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed." Read Isaiah 53, it's fantastic. And it just amazed me how that prophetic word that was given then of how Jesus was going to suffer. 2 Timothy reminds us all scripture is inspired by God. This is not human wisdom or human understanding. This is God speaking to you and to me through his ministers, through his prophets, through his men and women. The scriptures are to be the light of our lives. Light dispels darkness. And I pray that you and I will continue to search the scriptures. Continue to pray that the Holy Spirit will cause those words to leap off the page and address us. Have you come across that? When you're reading the Bible sometimes, the words just I can't put it into English really. But they just leap off the page and strike you and think, wow. I pray that we come with excitement to the word of God. These are not idle words from Peter. This is God's words for you and for me. And I think too, we have to acknowledge our own weaknesses too. God does not condemn us for being weak in a physical sense, but he does want us to be honest with him. As last week up at Crowhurst, and it just underlines to me how people are happy to sort of stay in a bad place rather than come to Jesus. I was speaking to a lady afterwards, and she said all her life, she had about 40, I suppose, she'd been filled with anger. She didn't know what to do about it. I said, talk to Jesus about it. She went to church every week. I said, talk to Jesus about it. Let him set you free from it. Oh, I never thought of that. We can smile and laugh about it, but it's true for so many folk. We need to be honest with God about where we are. And we too need to remember this Bible, these words of Peter, inspired by the Holy Spirit for you and for me, for our daily lives. Yes? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will encourage us in our daily lives. Lord, help us to make that time, make it a special time to be in prayer to you. Encourage our hearts this night, Lord, that we may want to come before you in prayer. We want to spend time with you. We want to spend time reading your word. We want to walk as men and women of God. Lord, inspire our hearts this day. Encourage our minds. Lord, help us to encourage one another in our daily walk. Help us not to be ashamed to talk about Jesus. Lord, give us that boldness that you gave those people at Pentecost. Their hearts were on fire. They couldn't keep quiet. Lord, give us that same power, that same eagerness, that same infilling of your Holy Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' dear name. Amen. Amen.
Can we sing that song, Here I Am Waiting? And then I'll probably just lead you in a short prayer or two after that before our final hymn. This song is really a prayer, isn't it? That God would do something more in our lives. Let's stand up and sing it together. I'm waiting. Abide in me, I pray.
Here I am longing for you.
I've been your love, bring me to my knees.
May I know Jesus more and more.
Come live in me all my life.
Take over.
Come breathe in me and I will rise on eagle's wings. Come live in me all my life. Take over. Come breathe in me, and I will rise on eagle's wings.
Here I am waiting,
abide in me, I pray.
Here I am longing.
More and more. and I will rise. Holy Ghost, who lives in me, all my life, Jehovah, come breathe in me, and I will rise on the eagle's wings, and I will rise above the sky. I will rise on eagle's wings, and I will rise above the storm. I will rise on eagle's wings. I will rise on eagles, and I will rise above the storm. Rise on eagle's wings.
I'd like us to just pray for one or two people. I'd like us to pray for Tessa Coulson. She normally comes to this congregation. She sits sort of over there. Wiz sits that side of the church. And she's in hospital following a fall at the end of last week. She's broken an arm or a wrist or a left side, and she's left-handed. And she's broken some ribs as well. Tessa got married late in life, so she doesn't have any children or grandchildren. There's a niece who lives some distance away in Tunbridge Wells. So if you feel you want to go to visit her, she's in Cooks and Devas. I'm sure she'd appreciate one or two visits this week. If you don't know her very well, Tessa does suffer from a certain amount of memory loss. So she'll probably say things like, the pastor's not been, I've been twice already, and things like that. But I just warn you. But let's pray for Tessa, because, you know, she's getting on, and this could be a life-changing moment for her. It remains to be seen whether she's going to be well enough to look after herself after this, and that is obviously going to beg a lot of other questions. Lord, we do want to pray for Tessa. We thank you for her. Thank you for all the things she's done down in these buildings since she's been living in Battle and part of the church here. And we want to pray, Lord, that you would just help her at this difficult time in her life. We pray for her niece, who really has the responsibility of worrying about her aunt. And we do pray, Lord, that you'd help the right steps to be taken for Tessa's long-term care. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The other thing I'd like you to pray about, on the morning of August the 12th, Sunday morning, August the 12th, I've got an adult in the church who's asked for baptism. I'm hoping to baptize him on the 12th. I've got a number of young people are in the pipeline, as it were, different states. But if there are any other adults in this congregation who are thinking about baptism, then just have a word with me. Let's pray about the service that's going to be upcoming on the 12th in the morning. Baptismal services are powerful times. They're times when God often speaks to other people. Lord, I want to thank you for Paul from the 1030 congregation who wants to be baptized. And I thank you that we're back down here with that service in the summer. And so that gives us a lovely opportunity to see that happen. And I want to pray, Father, that you would continue to work across the church, just gently speaking to other people who should be taking this step of baptism in their lives. I do pray, Lord, not just for the adults, but I thank you, Lord, that a number of young people are thinking seriously about baptism at the moment. We want to pray that for all, whether they're young or older, that this would be a life-changing time and a time that really helps people to focus upon you and for their Christian life to go deeper with you. We ask this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Our final hymn, after which you will need a cup of tea, because it's Oh for a Thousand Tongues to Sing. How many verses are there?
Seven.
Oh, the short version then. There's many more verses when it was first written. Let's stand up.
Oh, for a thousand times to sing my great Redeemer's praise, my great Redeemer. Charms our fears, that bids our sorrows cease, that bids our sorrows cease. 'Tis music in us is, 'tis life, health and peace, 'tis life and health and peace. Life and health and peace, 'tis life and health and peace. See all your sins on Jesus laid, the Lamb of God was slain, the Lamb of God was slain. His soul was once an offering made for every soul of man, for every soul of man, for every soul of man, for every soul of man. He breaks the power of cancelled sin. He sets the prisoner free. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood avails for me, His blood avail for me, His blood avail for me, His blood availed for me. He speaks and listening to His voice, new life the dead receive, new life the dead receive. The mournful broken hearts rejoice, the humble poor believe, the humble poor believe, the humble poor believe, the humble poor believe. Hear him, ye deaf, his praise, ye dumb, your loosened tongues employ, your loosened tongues employ. Ye blind, behold your Saviour come, and leap ye lame for joy, and leap ye lame for joy, and leap ye lame for joy, and leap ye lame for joy. My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad the honors of thy name, the honors of thy name, the honors of thy name, the honors of thy name.
Were you clapping because you made it? Let's say together the grace, shall we? Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. I wonder if somebody would mind taking Eileen gently through to the manor house as we go through to our tea. Thank you.